Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we also archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. All you have to do is click on that link, and, well, there you are. And you can listen to this program again and again and again, share it with your friends, your family, spread it around, and let people know what's going on. And we would certainly appreciate that because we're just wanting to get the word out about all of our wonderful guests that we have on. Also want to let you know that another place for you to check out as well, we like to let you know of upcoming events and things of this nature. There's an online periodical, if you will, that we associate with a Hope Dance, and basically we encourage you to go to their website to check out the latest films that are traveling around the Central Coast. Bob Banner has been on this program a number of times to talk about different films. The Economy of Happiness is one film in particular that we talked about the last couple of weeks, and another film that is coming out, and you want to go to hopedance.org and check out The Luckiest People on Earth. What is it about? Go to hopedance.org, and you can check out the trailers and get more information in that regard. These are great films, I think, for people to go see and also to share with friends and family as well. Later on in the program, we will have our AAA editor, Beth McDonald, to talk to us about what's going on astrologically and astronomically and how those relate together in terms of our particular conversation with our guest who is on the phones. Fourth appearance in less than 4 years, and his name is Stephen Lewis. He's the author of Sanctuary, Pathway to Consciousness, and as well as the AIM program. And as I mentioned in the promos that you've been hearing all week, I didn't give you a definition, did I? Because I wanted you to stay tuned to find out what the AIM program is all about. And also, what I love, Stephen, is the aspect of EMC squared, which is kind of cool. Welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you on the Tell Me Your Story.
Always a pleasure, Richard. Good to be here, and good to be with you and Amrita again.
Well, I wanted to start for those, and we'll do a real brief discussion, description, if you will, of EMC squared and the AIM program. And people, of course, can go to your website and they can check all of this information out as well. But can you kind of give us just like what do they call it, the cliff notes of what this is all about? And I know that's difficult to do because it's rather involved.
Well, this at the simplest version, it's helping you heal yourself, you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, as such, a spiritual technology, the spiritual holographic technology. Healing is a spiritual act. And only you heal yourself, but there's a lot of help available. I think this is the most powerful help I've ever heard of, let alone been involved in, and it's helping you heal whatever you need to heal, you specifically, because what you need to heal about you is different than your wife, different than your dog. Whoever is on the program, it's specifically for that person.
And this is all done, like, at the subconscious level, is that correct?
Well, that's a hard question. Because, you know, what's conscious to one person is unconscious to someone else, subconscious to a third person. I mean, because what we really are is we're here to expand our consciousness. Consciousness is what you use for healing. Consciousness, or a lack of it, is what you use to create your life. So that's why that's a tough one.
Well,
stick to the easy ones for me.
Well, I can't guarantee that because I have no control over where these questions come from, my friend.
No, I know that. But, you know, I mean, there's just so much stuff for you, for me, for all of us, that is, we understand it now, for, you know, and it's clear.
Yeah.
But go back a decade and it was like absolutely gibberish.
Yeah. Well,
it made no sense at all.
It's been about a year since you've been on the program, so I wanted to maybe go back a little bit. Now, I have, in that year, talked with a number of different people who have discussed this transition that we as a planet are going through, the universe is going through it. You're obviously familiar, obviously, with the milestone points in regards to, say, the Mayan calendar. And the Mayans didn't have a corner on this. They didn't have a lock on it, but they seem to be the most popular focal point for everyone. And I'm curious as to how this technology that you use, and you referred to it as a spiritual technology, how it plays into the cycles that we go through, that in one sense we don't really have control over, as it affects our physical bodies.
Well, these cycles, we don't have control of things as cycles, but on the other hand, everything about our lives, both individually and collectively, we do create with our consciousness. We create with our lives, and whatever is happening certainly can be viewed in terms of what did we do to create this. And I think, you have to understand something, Richard, that it's hard to say you want to be the boy who cried wolf. It's hard to be Chicken Little. But the boy who cried wolf is a valued member of the tribe or the village as soon as somebody gets bitten in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
It changes his status and stature. And that's something you've got to bear in mind. And I believe that we are, well, if we were interviewing Dickens, he would say, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. This is the greatest revolution, I think, in human history, because it is the revolution in human consciousness. Now, evolution is always, revolution is evolution speed at warp speed. So whenever it's revolution, there is an attrition rate. And I think that's the case by definition. And I think in this case, the issue is living at a higher level of consciousness. And those who get it, well, I think that they need to continue. And those who don't get it, well, I don't think it's any different than the dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. You know, at some level, there was a voice saying to them, hey, listen, we're fixing to have a cold snap. How about, you know, the Ice Age? You want to think about growing a little more hair and having a different kind of diet, less swampy, and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And all we got left is Barney.
Yeah.
the little purple guy, you know?
Yeah.
The point is, the message is there.
Mm-hmm.
I think for us, we've facilitated and we have augmented and everything else what's happening by virtue of we have made strides in technology that are just extraordinary, monumental. But those strides were not accompanied by and with strides in spirituality, and the technology did not take spirituality into account. Spirituality very simply being we are all connected to each other. We're in this together. And as such, you've got to understand, technology is fundamentally without any core values. It is a cannibal. And if you're going to dine with a cannibal, you should really think about what's on the menu.
I think it's relevant.
And that technology, as such, has served to create the opposite of consciousness. It served to create separation. And separation is unconsciousness spiritually and is insanity. And that is what we have been creating and coveting. And now here we are. The chickens are without a doubt coming home to roost. And when I measure it, I see it very clearly. And I think many people in the world see it clearly. And, yeah, there are a lot of accompanying mystiques and informational sources that say, yes, 2012 and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be, but, you know, I can't comment really on the Mayan calendar.
Right.
But I can comment on what I do and what I see. Is there some kind of, quote, harmonic convergence? Perhaps so. But I see we've met the enemy and it's us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like everybody in, let's say, the Western urban world, just about everybody has energetically the frequency of an immune deficiency. Mm-hmm. Now, that is by virtue of a man-made constellation. This is not something that occurred in nature. Unless you want to take nature in the broadest possible definition, hey, anything that happens, no matter what, it's nature. Well, you know, it's a different kind of nature.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm curious about what's happening right now with the power plant in Japan, or plants, I should say, and the news reports about the increasing radiation. That obviously is going to affect the genetics, the human body on the cellular level. Is there anything that the AIM program can do in that regard? And again, there would be those,
well,
as far as
radiation, as far as the frequency of radiation, no, you're talking about a half-life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's thousands of years. Now, on the other hand, we've got many, many, many people on the AIM program who are in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I've checked a number of them. Now, nobody right where the earthquake was, but in Tokyo, which is a couple of hundred miles away. And I haven't seen radiation toxicity in any of the AIM participants in Tokyo. Now, remember, I can only check people.
Right.
I can't check the air.
No, I understand that. But my point was getting to being able to use the program to offset, if you will, or bring back into balance in some fashion the body that may be impacted at whatever level by these isotopes, this radioactivity. Is that even in the realms of possibility?
I think everything's possible.
Okay.
But it is not something that we do right now.
Right.
But the good news is I have not seen anyone with any sign of radiation poisoning.
Okay.
Now, again, I'm not checking right around that reactor.
Right, right. You're looking more at the folks that are on the program.
Who are in Japan, Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Thus far, it's not the case. As far as seeing radiation toxicity here, I don't, in this country, in our country, I don't really see anything above the level of, let's say, dental x-rays.
Right.
So it's not at a toxic level. I think that there's a lot of toxicity in nature, though, but that's mm-hmm. just not it.
Yeah, I know I was hearing some stories about doing some comparisons at that particular time, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. Comparisons of the levels of radiation that were out there to what we normally get from rocks and the sun and so forth, as far as it would have impacted us here on the West Coast first, as the so-called radioactive cloud was, you know, supposedly working its way towards us. And I thought, well, then I guess there isn't really a great deal to start worrying about and fretting about and stressing my body out over.
It's a pretty big ocean.
It is indeed. Let me speak. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of a pretty big ocean, let's talk about the 7 billion plus people on the planet. Now, obviously, they're not all on the AIM program yet, but I don't know if you have a computer large enough to handle 7 billion, but I'm sure that it would come to pass.
Well, there's no 7. There's no computer that can handle 1 billion, let alone 7. However, we could, in a very short order, gear up for a few million.
Right.
And if that came to pass, we could do it. Right now, we're at somewhere around 60,000, mm-hmm. which is nothing. And I've had a lot of thoughts about that. You know, I mean, I believe that 60,000 should be 60 million. No, I mean 600 million or whatever.
Right.
But you know what? At some level, perhaps not. It's, I'm not being the devil's advocate, but you're familiar with the Malthusian doctrine, Thomas Malthus.
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, well, it says that you gotta have wars and pestilence and plagues and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, overpopulation would be such a major problem. Well, you know, I believe that we transition, we die because of what is hereditary. And my work primarily is helping people heal whatever they've brought with them, which is what is hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to call it karmic, if you want to speak that language, sure, go ahead. But we both know what we're saying.
Yes.
And I believe that's our work. And there are, let's say, 7 billion people. If there's 60,000 or 6 million people who live a lot longer, suppose they have no hereditary disease frequencies. Well, I said to you in the beginning, you've got two you're getting rid of right now.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Maybe that's it. Maybe the third time's the charm. I don't know. However, that's for you, for me, and for whomever. Whoever, those who would know, those who would hear. And when I went into this initially, I thought that'd be everybody. But you know what? That's just not the case.
It's
really not the case.
Yeah, people who desire it, who it rings true for or resonates with, will come to it. And right now, that number is 60,000.
You cannot convince and you can't sell.
Right.
It's like I've had many people contact me and contact us and say, I get it, Eureka and all that. And good, okay. Whether it's happened that day that they heard about it or a year later, you know, it's when it's time, it's time.
Yeah.
And there's no arguing with that. That's simply just the way life transpires. But I don't think it's in the cards for this to be a universal thing. It would benefit people, but perhaps.
And it's not.
Malthus had a point to make, you know? I don't know.
Indeed. And yet, it's not about trying to make a superior group of individuals on the planet, of which right now there are 60,000. That's not the point of all of this. These people have been drawn to you for whatever reason, myself included, and here we are. And I'm no different than you or anybody else. I just happen to have connected with you, and we've stayed connected for quite a number of years. And
yeah, I agree, but remember this, Richard, this is the important thing. Out of every, let's just take a round number, 100 people who hear about this,
mm-hmm.
I would say 95 dismiss it as gibberish. I mean, the first question people have to deal with in regard to me is, are they getting the big picture in a nutshell or from a nutcase? Or both, you know, they may not be mutually exclusive.
Well, you know, the point of this program is to allow.
I'm going to laugh along with them. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I'm on the
right.
program.
Right. Well, and it would stand to reason that you stand to make a stronger case for the benefits if you're on the program as well, because, you know, you're going to experience the benefits in that regard, too. But I guess it comes to the point of this isn't about creating an elite group of humans. This is just 60,000 plus or minus who have chosen this particular path. This is the modality
that
they're looking at, because there are others who will focus on Reiki, others who will focus on a myriad
Precisely.
Of other modalities.
Right. And you know what? Anything that helps you heal yourself is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have no excess of pride. If I feel something will help me in my process of healing, whatever it is I need to heal, I'm right there.
Right.
Okay? And that's it. Now, that's not universally the case either. Many people, there are people whose names I can't mention, but you could obviously, you'd know them, who feel if they took advantage of this, it would diminish what they do, and their ego will stop them. Well, very frankly, you know, at that level, there are a lot of tombstones that could say cause of death, egotism.
Well, yeah, that's
true.
That
would not be a rare ailment.
Yeah.
Okay? There are a lot of rare diseases. Egotism isn't exactly one of them.
True.
So, but yeah, go ahead.
Is there a part of the AIM program that will help to balance the frequencies to do away with that? The ego aspect?
Yes and no. But, you know, there is that part of the AIM program that is volitional and that which is involitional, that which everyone will choose, because you've got an instinct. It's called survival.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the frequency of, let's say, cancer or heart disease, you don't have to wonder about will you select that balancing frequency to heal the cancer, the heart disease, whatever it is. You have this instinct, and you will select it. We all have that instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're cynical and say, no, I'm not interested in healing myself, you can say whatever you want. You're going to select whatever it is that helps you heal yourself.
Yeah.
On the other hand, as far as expanding your consciousness, take consciousness perhaps in a level of, you know, David Hawkins, in Power versus Force, where you have at the top of consciousness, you have enlightenment, those people whom we call ascendant masters. At the very bottom of that scale, if I recall, is shame. And, you know, you will not expand your consciousness unless that is something you want. You will heal the frequency of cancer, heart disease, etc. But will you increase your consciousness? It's there. The frequencies are there, but you must select them. You will select them if that is what you desire. Now, you and I have been around a long time. I've been around a lot longer. You know, in my 70s.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've met many, many people who have absolutely no interest in having a higher consciousness. Is that a fair statement to you?
Yeah, it is.
Right. And as such, it's just not part of what they want.
And that's their right.
That is, everything is your right to do. It's your right to choose, not choose. But remember, as far as we, as a spiritual group, are concerned, there is no such thing as chosen people. Everyone is chosen. Not everyone chooses.
True.
We are all in this together.
Yes.
We are all chosen, and then it's incumbent upon us to exercise that free choice.
When we come back,
because responsibility and empowerment are hand in glove.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we come back from our segment with Beth McDonald, I want to talk a little bit about the book that started all of this, Sanctuary, Pathway to Consciousness, Higher Consciousness, preferably, but some level of expanded consciousness, and also about how people, how people can not only get more information, but even begin their own process of maybe through meditation or what have you, some tools that you might be able to share with us that they might be able to begin that process of dealing with those internal issues that will take us as individuals to whatever the next level is for us. And I want to talk more about that as we continue. My guest today here on the program is Stephen Lewis, author of Sanctuary, Pathway to Consciousness. His website is aimprogram.com. That's aimprogram.com. And we encourage you to stay tuned to this program. Tell me your story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Don't go away.
I read the Santa Barbara News Press because I want to find out what's going on with things like the Miramar. I get it to keep up with local politics.
I read the news press because I'm concerned about overdevelopment.
And what's up with these ball bouts?
The news press is important to me because it gives the most in-depth local coverage.
I read the news press every day because without it, I'm in the dark.
Subscribe today and save 50% off the newsstand price. Call 966-7171.
50% subscription savings require Easy Pay credit card payment.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Hey, Mom, the baby feels warm to me.
What's that?
The Exergen thermometer. My doctor uses it. Just swipe her forehead and I get an accurate reading in seconds. Look, she didn't even wake up.
I should get one for your father. He acts like a baby when he's sick.
The Exergen scanner works on everyone, Mom. It's great value for the money and works like a charm.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Supercenters, Sam's Clubs, and other fine retailers.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Tell me your story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. I thank you so much for staying with us as we open the line here to talk with our astrological and astronomical assignment editor, Beth McDonald. And we're going to talk a little bit about Beth, how can you do this to me? I mean, the 30th of March is supposed to be a great day, and it's turned into a day of retrograde. However, I do remember what you said the first time I asked you about retrogrades. It's an opportunity.
Not
to be feared.
Right.
Welcome to the program, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you, and thanks for having me, and thanks to your guest, Steve. This is the perfect topic for right now. This is the perfect topic. You know, the retrogrades are an awesome, awesome time to do anything, the slightest attempt to increase your consciousness, to delve inward, to connect with spirit, to connect with the universal consciousness, to enlighten yourself. This is what the retrogrades are really all about, and doing any of that kind of work right now is like driving with the high octane gas in your car or sailing with the wind at your back. It's just easier.
Well, now, how long will this particular period last?
They're usually about 21 days. This one goes to, I believe it's April 23rd.
Okay.
And it's primarily in the sign of Aries. And Aries is one of my favorite signs. It's totally gung-ho. It's all forward motion. It's brick on the gas pedal. So, again, the theme of, like, being able to get a lot done really is stronger this time. Now, keep in mind, it's doesn't apply in all realms. You know, it's much more difficult to achieve on the material level during a Mercury retrograde, but on the spiritual level, on the psychological level, even on a communing level, reconnecting with friends and family members on a deeper level, you know, it's a really good time for that.
But that can even feel a very rewarding. I mean, that can sort of supplant or at least offset for the time being any financial gains that you're looking to achieve in that period of time.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I look at it as balance.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go full tilt boogie only in one section of your life all the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of us in this day and age, especially with the economy the way it is now, really get consumed by material issues. And it's the retrogrades are a time to offset that.
Well, now, two other things. Number one, we just entered spring. Boy, did we enter spring. Now,
yay!
what is that saying? Is it about March and April, or is it about, maybe it is March and April. March comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb, and vice versa. I got to tell you that I think that we were going through quite a series of storms even at the first part of March. So I figure that even though we're going into this period of retrograde on the 30th, 31st, we maybe at least on a physical meteorological aspect, maybe we'll go out a little gentler. They are expecting sunny skies for the next week and warmer temperatures, so maybe that is the case. But we are into spring.
Yes.
And the planets are now starting to sort of split up a little bit. They came together, some of them.
Huge bunch for a long time, and it's starting to split up a little bit, which allows us to diversify. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
There's still the most energy is in that sign of Aries, where Mercury will be retrograding, and that is the first sign of the zodiac. It's a young energy. It's a very vibrant energy, and seasonally, you know, spring is the planting time.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the manifestation cycle, where you can actually start to sprout things. You know, my husband gardens, and we're actually seeing little sprouts come up.
Oh, very
That's
cool.
Such a wonderful metaphor.
Well, we're seeing sprouts on our apple and pear trees. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
our efforts become tangible at this time.
Well, very exciting, and we're going to have people get in touch with you through BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, and we will be talking to you in 2 weeks because you're going to be on a journey next week.
Yes, I am. Yeah. It's one of my annual spring pilgrimages.
Wonderful. Well, we'll talk to you after the program. We were in the midst of something. We'll talk further about that. And thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with Stephen Lewis here on the program, Tell Me Your Story, right after this.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Ropa Chari bring you this January health tip.
Here's today's Chari Center of Health quick tip for weight loss. Make a commitment today to make good health and body fitness a priority in your life. Health is a priceless gift and is wealth. We are committed to enhancing your health. Start the day right and eat breakfast. Your mom was right. A good healthy breakfast gets your metabolism kicked off for the day. Eating breakfast is good for weight loss. In fact, people who eat breakfast are more likely to maintain a healthy weight. People falsely believe that skipping breakfast is a strategy for losing weight, but that's not true. The body needs to be refueled a few times each day, starting with breakfast. When you skip breakfast, you are more likely to become tired because your brain and body run low on fuel. Studies have shown that children who eat breakfast actually do better in school. Of course, the same logic applies to adults, since you both feel better and perform better at work.
Making a healthy breakfast, what should you eat? Ideally, a healthy breakfast should contain both protein and fiber. Protein can come from eggs or beans. Fiber can be found in whole grains, vegetables, and fruits. A good example of a healthy breakfast might be something simple, like a hard-boiled egg, an apple, and a bowl of oatmeal with a little cinnamon, or a whole grain cereal made with water. Avoid sugary cereals, syrups, pastries, and white breads because they are digested quickly, raise your blood sugar, cause weight gain, and will leave you feeling hungry and tired in a couple of hours, whereas protein and fiber satisfy your hunger and will keep you feeling full until lunchtime. Be good to yourself and know that eating a healthy breakfast is the best way to start off your day.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's
805-963-1111. Tell me your stories. I'll do my best.
Understanding is really the bottom line of what it's all about. And if you need further understanding, you can go to aimprogram.com, AIMprogram.com to find out more about the work that Stephen Lewis and all the folks that are involved with the program EMC Squared and the AIM program are dealing with. Sanctuary, The Pathway to Consciousness is the name of the book, and we encourage you to check out all of his information. Stephen, that's one of the things that I'd like to dive into. Now, it seems as though that book was sort of the catalyst that really sent you on this path. I mean, you were already sort of doing the work that you're doing now in the fledgling period, the early years. Give us a little bit of a background, if you would.
Well, yeah, actually, the sequence was the opposite. I've been doing this work for a long time, well over 30 years. And when I was in practice in Los Angeles, most of my patients were in the entertainment industry, either music or movies or whatever. In fact, half the entertainment community were my patients, and I was swamped beyond belief. I mean, you've heard it before, and it's true. A mm-hmm. new patient wanting to see me had a 3.5-year wait, which is absurd. It's insane. And I was working a lot. You know, it was just ridiculous. But some things happened, and I did write about them in that book, and I came to a conclusion, and that is that in all conscience, I don't feel justified in restricting this to just those privileged, very wealthy few, particularly in the light of, you know, what I discovered at the time. I also felt that I had to do something to bring this public attention so that those who heard about it and wanted to be part of it had that choice. If you didn't hear about it, you're offered no choice. And so I wrote this book, which seems to have taken on its own life, and it's Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. And I then created a public entity and so that everyone who's interested can be part of it. In so doing, well, there are 60,000 people. A lot of the people in Hollywood were very, very upset.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, they wanted individual attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're high maintenance. And I told them, look, that is not what I'm doing, and I can't do it. And they said, well, but I'm used to it. Well, I said, well, get unused to it or go elsewhere, whatever, because I feel this is something I must do. And understand something. I did it simply because I felt I had to do it. I got a very clear-cut message. It wasn't because I needed the money. I was ready to retire. Economically, I could have retired back then.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my passion.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that there was no retirement whatsoever. But it's just, I felt this is what I had to do. In fact, I've worked harder since then than I ever have in my life. and that's okay. I've got no complaints because I'm working this hard at what is my passion, and in so doing, I am helping so many people. I think I'm incredibly blessed. I can be nothing but grateful for all this.
You know,
it never stops.
Yeah. I think about that in terms of the people that I come in contact with. I don't know who they know, who they know, who they know, but I know that I need to learn to always be understanding and compassionate, listen to them. I mean, I get phone calls here at the radio station, and I have a group of people standing around me, and after I get off the phone, they say, wow, you were so nice to that person. I don't think I could have done that. And I'm just going, well, I don't think I could have done otherwise. I don't know who they are, but it doesn't make any difference. And they may walk away from that conversation in a different frame of mind. They're off to connect with another human being in their realm. And by virtue of them being in a different energy mindset, if you will, it's going to impact that connection, that conversation. It could propel things in a whole new direction that we never even thought of. The drop in a still pond. You don't know where those ripples are going to go and what they're going to do.
Precisely, and that's quite true of this work, of the work of EMC Squared, of the AIM program. And so here we are. And
let me ask you about your spiritual roots.
My spiritual roots.
Where do you come from?
You know, for a while I used to say to myself, well, gee, I really never had any spiritual roots. But that's not quite the case. I didn't have any traditional spiritual roots, but my grandfather was a mathematician and a serious student of the Kabbalah.
Mm.
And he used to teach me all the time. Other than that, I was a normal kid. You know, I played ball and all that. I was kind of a prodigy, but I was also a ball player, a kid who played ball, so that made me acceptable.
Yeah.
And other than that, I had this instilled in me without any kind of traditional, yes, I'm a Jew, a Christian, or this or that or whatever. But somehow it evolved in me to understand that spirituality is fundamentally perceiving your connection to everyone and everything, your connection to all of life. And you can take a given faith and fit it into that. I mean, Buddha's certainly wrote about being in the oneness. And Christ wrote about what you do to the least of mine, you're doing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, but this is the essence of spirituality. I don't have, I mean, you mentioned different things, meditation, etc. Yeah, I find it's necessary for me to meditate every day. I take about a half hour out of every day and just lie down and focus on my connection to everyone and everything and try and feel that connection. That's what my meditation is. I don't sit and chant in some language I don't understand because it would be nonsense syllables to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're the world's only coherent, fundamental, correct nonsense syllables, but whatever. To me, I don't, you know what I mean? They're nonsense. It's, I focus on my connection to everyone and everything.
Yeah.
And that is the essence of my spirituality, the essence of my meditation.
Who or what is God to you, or whatever term you want to use in place of God?
God is, well, I can use the term God happily, but God to me is everything. All of life is God. It's kind of a new thought concept of God. It's all is God. And I believe that. And in fact, that's the essence of the term, it's all good, because they're saying it's all God. And I believe everything is God. However, I think we must find the divinity within ourselves. That is part of why we're here. We must search for that divinity within ourselves. I mean, you got to imitate someone, don't you?
Well, we always do.
Yeah, and yeah. So, exactly.
Yeah.
And that is what God means to me, finding that within me, and for that matter, within all of us. And on the other hand, I'm not what used to be called facetiously a tree hugger. I don't sit and think, I don't really think it's all good. Perhaps it is, but I'm just not conscious enough to know it. You know, it's like chaos theory in physics, which is a language I speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, chaos theory says fundamentally there ain't no such thing as chaos. Well, there's a caveat to that, as you well know, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
There is no chaos as long as you're an ascendant master. If your perspective, if your hologram, if your vision is all-encompassing, so you see everything, that you can perhaps look at, you know, oil and the oil spills and look at the dinosaurs dying to become fossil fuel and everything, and see the fossil fuel and the dinosaurs all as just blips and there's just a bunch, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that all-encompassing vision, whatever you see has a coherence, but anything outside of your perspective, your hologram, looks chaotic as hell. It looks nuts.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe me, pick up the front page of your paper.
Yes, I know.
I mean, you want to? You don't think there's apparent chaos there?
Well, and that's the operative word, apparent. That's the operative word right there. And it actually leads me into my next question. What is your, whether it's your intuitive or just your mental perspective on the potential future of man?
Well, let's put it this way. I believe the planet will survive. But that's the planet.
Well, I was just going to say.
Right. Now, will man survive or will man complete the process of making the planet uninhabitable for him? That is the big question.
Mm-hmm.
I think that some will. I think that what we're seeing here is the inevitable thinning of a herd, and this is the way we do it. You know, there are other species who do it a little bit more in a little bit more, courteous manner,
mm-hmm.
like lemmings.
Yeah.
So lemmings are these little ferret-like animals in Scandinavia, and when they become overpopulated, the elderly lemmings say, listen, see you later, they all go off over a cliff. And they know that there are other lemmings who are elderly who are going to follow them. And we don't do that. What we say is, you go, I'm right behind you, man.
Yes, we do. Or we say...
Yeah, well, that takes a lot of faith.
Yeah, it does. It's either that or you go and I will send you.
Yeah, I think we're going through what is going to be perceived very shortly as a monumental thinning out of the herd,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the end of the herd.
Okay.
And I think that is to be expected. And I don't say this from any sense of it must be so. Like the Rosicrucians say, the planet can only tolerate 600 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, then we're at 7 billion.
There's a lot of thinning that's going to be going on, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, so, but you know, I don't have that belief. However, I do think that we are in for a thinning out of the herd. I think it's all the signs are there. It's apparent. And some people perceive it, some don't. Reminds me very much of a poem I read by W.H. Auden, September 1939, when he wrote, "Faces along the bar cling to their average day. The lights must never go out, the music must always play. All the conventions conspire to make this fort assume the furniture of home, lest we should see where we are. Children lost in a haunted wood, children afraid of the night who have never been happy or good." You know, that was September 1939, and it was propitious, and it was it was kind of accurate, because by 1940, there it was. Well, I think that take all that and multiply it by God knows what fold, and you are at our path, our crossroads today.
Yeah.
Because technology has created that, and technology, as we've said, it must serve spirituality.
Yeah.
It's not the change in people, it's how they can implement that change. Look, have you got any kids, Richard?
No human children. I have 8 cats, 2 dogs, and 23 chickens.
And a partridge, okay. Now, the point is, you know, if you were a parent and got a son, he came home from school, you know, picture your 6-7-year-old son or something, and he had a black eye or whatever, and he had a fight with his friend. You know, if you wanted to make a big deal about it and go through all these changes, you go ahead. It'd be a waste of time, because while you're making your big deal, he and his friend will be back together playing again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to do something, teach him how to defend himself so he can account himself. Well, and that's it.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's just the nature of it. All I've got to do is put in something primitive. In that little fight with your son and the other little kid, if we put in something like a knife, suddenly you're justified in being a concerned parent, correct?
Yes.
Not to mention a gun, not to mention nuclear weapons, biological warfare, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
When you add technology, you must be adding responsibility and responsible use of it. Otherwise, you have the oceans poisoned. You have, you know, and look at the the Gulf of Mexico. You have the air, you have all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all I'm saying. I am not against technology. I am saying you got to know what you're dealing with here.
Exactly, exactly.
And you can't use it to make a couple of bucks and destroy the environment and call it progress.
Yeah.
It is not progress. It is very simply technological warfare.
Well, before we
call it what it is.
You're right. Before we run out of time on the program, I have one other question for you. I do want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us here today and look forward to having you back again in a few months to talk further about this. I want to ask you as we wind up the program, what do you feel that you have achieved in your lifetime, whether it be through AMC Squared and the AIM program? And is it what you thought you would have achieved when this work began?
Well, first of all, I thought that what I've found is so obvious that the entire planet would jump on board. I thought everyone would get it, and I have learned differently. But I then have learned that those who are meant to perceive it do perceive it, do get it, and do become part of it when it's time for them to have that perception and recognition and joining.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I have learned, and it took me a while to get that lesson that, you know, so what it comes down to, what I've achieved, I've made some discoveries, but fundamentally, I see myself in the same light as I see you. We are messengers, and it is a noble profession. And messengers, their purpose is really to deliver their message and then go on and deliver their message and then move on and deliver their message, not to look back and say, did you get it? Did you get it?
Yeah.
People will get it as they're meant to get it. Some will, some won't. For you and for me and for Wayne Dyer and for Michael Beckwith and for the Dalai Lama and for whomever.
Mm-hmm.
The point, very simply, is if you have a message, you deliver it and move on, because there are many others who haven't heard that message, and you need to deliver it for them. And I see that as our work, and I think your work is instrumental because you're media. I mean, I can reach how many people via you as opposed to standing outside with a megaphone shouting.
This is true. This is true. Well, Stephen, I thank you so much for taking time out of what is always a busy schedule for each one of us and sharing your message. As fellow messengers, it's great to get together, connect, and share the ideas that we have. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and thank Amrita, and anytime.
All right. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices, as Stephen alluded to. If you don't know the choices there, how can you choose it? Well, now you have a choice, and you can check into it by going to aimprogram.com, aimprogram.com. Check out Sanctuary Path to Consciousness, and we hope that you will check out richarddugan.com. We are also linked to aimprogram.com. Until next Saturday at this same time, 3 p.m. Pacific time, this is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Love to Lal.